Welcome to episode 116 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for March the 10th, 2009. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. On this week's episode of the Fredcast, how to find a cyclist lost in Alaska, new bike helmets promising a better fit for kids, lots of legislative activity, a little bit of pro cycling news, and a fourth grader's essay on biking nails it. New feature announcement, new product announcement, upcoming events, and PodSafe cycling music. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. This week's episode of the Fredcast is sponsored by Audible.com. Go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling to download your free audiobook and take advantage of the free 14-day free trial of the Audible Listener Gold Program. Audible.com has over 50,000 audiobooks and more. Check it out at audiblepodcast.com/cycling. Welcome back to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. It's great to have you back for another week of the Fredcast. Before we get started, I have an exciting announcement. After a long wait, I am finally pleased to announce that we are now taking orders for the Fredcast jerseys. Fredcast jerseys, or Team Fredcast jerseys as we're calling them, are available right now for ordering at www.thefredcast.com. Now, when you go there, just at the top of the page next to the button that says Home, there's a button that says Fredcast Store, and that will take you to the products page where you can take a look at the new Team Fredcast jerseys. These are available for everyone. No special requirements that you do anything other than enjoy the show and want to show your appreciation by wearing the jersey on your next club ride, next century, double century, or perhaps the Étape du Tour, Paris-Brest-Paris, wherever you like. The great thing is these are going to be available for only a limited time and in limited quantities. But if you order right now and you order by March 23rd, 2009, you're going to get a special price and you're going to be guaranteed that your jersey will ship no later than May 22nd. The regular price on these jerseys will be $69 each, but if you order before March 23rd, you're going to get the special introductory pre-sale price of $59 each. The jerseys are manufactured by Black Bottom Cyclewear. We've been very pleased with their quality. They've been great to work with. And these are going to be their club cut jerseys made with 100% microfiber polyester to draw moisture away from your body to the outer layer for quick evaporation. These are going to be available in extra small, small, medium, large, extra large, double X, and triple extra large sizes. There is a sizing chart online so you can check it out. Once again, please order yours today. Orders placed by March 23rd will guarantee that your order will ship by May 22nd. Now, after March 23rd, your order is going to be subject to availability, and as I said, this first production run will be a limited quantity, and your availability and delivery date just can't be guaranteed unless you order right away. So go to www.thefredcast.com. Check out the jerseys. By the way, you'll see a little picture there with two jerseys. Click on it and it will expand to show you what the jersey looks like. You are going to have to use PayPal if you buy through the fredcast.com website, or if you want to use just your regular credit card and you don't want to use PayPal, go ahead and go to blackbottoms.com and you can order right there. Can't wait to see all of you out there in your brand new Team Fredcast jerseys. All right, well, let's get right into the news. And the top story tonight, well, quite honestly, it's a non-story. We've had so many product recalls in the cycling industry over the last couple of weeks and months. My top story tonight, I got no product recalls for you. How's that for a top story? Okay, our real top story this week concerns Australian cyclist Yara Kellner. Yara Kellner was competing in the annual Iditarod Trail Invitational. This is the Iditarod race, but instead of using sled dogs, it uses mountain bikes. It is a 563-kilometer race across the snowy Alaskan wilderness. Well, there were 50 participants who took part in this year's Iditarod Trail Invitational, and Kellner was one of them. He lost the trail after he had gone at least 209 kilometers into the race. He fell into a snowy and wet stream and then eventually lost his way, decided that he understood that he was lost and that he needed to take shelter. His clothes were wet. They were cold. He lit his tiny camping stove to try to help dry his clothes as he got into his sleeping bag and took his clothes off. But no matter what he did, his clothes still continued to grow icicles. He then spent the next several hours trying to dry each piece of clothes individually with his body heat inside his sleeping bag. He then eventually got out of the sleeping bag and started to try to find his way. He climbed up, taking hours to get out of the canyon that he was in, trying to find his tracks, but unfortunately the wind had swept his tracks away. He then decided that he was lost and that he needed to do something to keep himself alive and keep himself going and try to find a way to make sure that he was found. For the next several days, Kellner divided up the few slices of cheese and the just couple of energy bars. He had four energy bars on him, and he divided them all up into squares, and he fed them to himself periodically just to try to keep himself having some nourishment in his body. And he marked his location with orange Gatorade, pouring it onto the snow so that rescuers would hopefully be able to find him from the air. His GPS was out of batteries. He really was out of options. He built some snow caves, put himself into those, and then eventually, after 5 days in the wilderness, a pilot and his spotter found Kellner underneath a tree and dropped a note to him tied to an aviation chart and a pack of batteries. And then eventually he was rescued and brought to Anchorage. Once back in Anchorage and in good shape, he really expressed his appreciation for his rescuers and for everyone who searched for him. And he said, quote, "People here did exactly what people back in Australia would have done if someone was in trouble." So congratulations to Yara Kellner for being found and for really using his wits and his mountaineering skills and kept all of that about him as he was lost out there in the wilderness for 5 days. I can't imagine what he must have gone through. So congratulations to him for his survival techniques, and congratulations also to the rescuers for bringing him home safely. On episode number 114, we talked about the fact that the League of American Bicyclists had posted a website to help bike commuters get the benefits available to them under a recent bill passed by Congress. Well, now a company called Commuter Check Services, according to Bicycle Retailer and Industry News, is unveiling a bicycle voucher, and this took place today on March 10th, that makes the program simple for employers to administer. If your employer uses Commuter Check Services, you'll be given a voucher of up to $20 per month that you can use to spend on everything from bikes to accessories or to the monthly storage cost for a storage unit for your bike. And bike shops and storage providers can accept these vouchers for no additional charge to you. These are bank checks that are drawn on Bank of America and include all sorts of safety features to make sure that they are fraud resistant, or at least hopefully fraud proof. According to Stuart Baker, who's managing the rollout for benefits and coordinating with bike shops, he told Bicycle Retailer and Industry News, quote, "There are about 10,000 employers that participate in Commuter Check. They'll have the opportunity to buy bicycle vouchers. Our hope is that bike shops are made aware of the benefit and existence of the bike voucher." And Commuter Check Services is going to offer laminated instructions for accepting the vouchers and also decals to show which bike shops will accept them. For more information, if you're an employer and you want to get involved, you can call Mr. Baker at 510-649-1061. I've also put his email address into the show notes, or you can go to commutercheck.com. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many times has this happened to you? You are riding on your typical road ride and you end up on a bike path for a part of your ride, And somewhere along that bike path, you run across a mom or a dad or a mom and dad, and they're riding with one or more of their kids. Everybody's wearing helmets, but the kids' helmets just don't look right. You know, they're off to one side. You know, they're sort of jaunty look that the kids are probably not trying to go for. Or they're too far back, or they're too far forward. I mean, it seems like it happens all the time. And you always, at least I do, I always want to stop and sort of give them a lesson in the proper fit of bike helmets. But that's just me. I'm sort of safety nerd. But Bell Helmets has now come out with a new design for helmets, and they're called Bell True Fit Helmets. I think this is really revolutionary, and to me, this is news, and that's why it's here in the news section. Bell did some research, and they found out that more than half of the kids surveyed at places like playgrounds and bike paths in 48 states and the District of Columbia here in the United States, more than half of them weren't even wearing helmets. And of those who were wearing helmets, more than a third of them had some sort of a fit problem, including all the things I just talked about. Helmets worn too loose, or sitting too far forward, or too far back. And so what they did was they came out with this new system that they call Bell True Fit. You can check it out at belltruefit.com. And by the way, this is not an advertisement. As a dad, this is something that's bugged me, and so I love the fact that Bell has come out with this, and I'm happy to talk about it. There is only one adjustment on these helmets. It's got an elastic band in the back that goes under. If you sort of feel behind the back of your head, you can feel the occipital lobe, and that's where sort of there's that ridge at the back of your head where it attaches to your neck. And so there's an elastic band that goes along there. The V-straps around your ears, well, those are fixed. Those are not adjustable. So there's just one adjustment, and that's to make it snug on the child's head. The helmets come in four sizes: toddler, child, youth, and adult. Because you know what? I've kind of seen lots of you adults with that sort of jaunty sideways look as well. They cost between $17 and $26, and they're available at stores everywhere: Walmart, Targets, Toys R Us. Now, granted, this is not something you're going to wear in a time trial or a criterium, but for your friends and for your kids who are really just recreational riders and they need something to protect their head, to protect their brains, this is a great idea. So kudos to Bell Helmets for coming out with this. I put a link in the show notes, or you can just type in belltruefit.com. They've got some videos there, and I was really impressed. Go ahead and check it out. I don't know what this world is coming to. It must be the economy. But last week, we told you about how Dave Zabriskie's house was robbed while he was racing at the Tour of California. Well, now it's also hit one of our supporters, Jensen USA. Jensen USA lost nearly $27,000 worth of high-end bikes in a burglary at their warehouse in Corona, California. According to Bicycle Retailer, once again, the thieves broke in through the shop's locked, barricaded back door sometime between closing Wednesday evening last week and Thursday morning. In the robbery, they took two Jameis Diablos, three Yeti ASR SLs, a Rocky Mountain Slayer SS, a Rocky Mountain Element 50, and a 2009 Titus Moto Lite. According to Justin Christopher, the director of sales and marketing for Jensen USA, quote, "Whoever did this was savvy enough to cut the alarm communication first. They probably had leisure time to bust down the door without making a lot of noise." Thankfully, the shop's security cameras did capture the theft, and they've turned those tapes over to local law enforcement, and I, for one, hope that they catch these idiots who did this. Bicycle Retailer had a list of serial numbers, and they are hoping that other bike shops in the area, if they should come across these bikes, will help keep an eye out for the thieves. If you'd like more information, I've put a link in the show notes to where you can check out the serial numbers of these bikes so that if you work in a bike shop, you too can be on the lookout for these stolen bikes. Well, the beginning of the year typically signals new legislative sessions in the states here in the United States, and three states are tackling issues surrounding bicycles. The first is extremely controversial. This one's taking place up in Oregon. This is House Bill 3008, and this would require those 18 years and older who ride on any highway in the state to pay $54 every 2 years to register their bicycles, and they would have to attach a sticker to their bike frame. Now, number one, bike registration, $54. That seems a bit steep, considering the fact that it would seem to me that a lot, if not most, bike owners already drive cars and already pay registration fees for those cars for things like road maintenance and things like that. Plus, imagine you're like most Freds and you've got more than one bike. That would conceivably mean that you might have to pay $54 every 2 years for every bike that you own. I know people who literally have dozens of bikes. That seems like an extremely stiff cycling tax. Now, according to the bill's authors, the money collected under this bicycle registration would go toward a bicycle transportation improvement fund, which would pay for bike lanes and bike paths and future projects. And for those people who failed to register, they could face a $25 fine. And for those of you who are thinking, well, that the Democrats must be doing this or the Republicans must be doing this, well, the bill was sponsored by three Republicans from Southern Oregon and a Democrat from the Happy Valley area. So this is a bipartisan sponsored bill. Now, I've tried to contact Jonathan Mouse from Bike Portland to get his take on the bill, but unfortunately, he's at the League of American Bicyclists Bike Summit in Washington, D.C. at the moment. I'm hoping that I should be able to get some comments from him by next week's show, and I will bring those to you. In the meantime, if you have any comments, please give us a call on our voicemail and let us know what you think of Oregon's House Bill 3008 and this $54 every 2 year bike registration fee. You can reach us at area code 435-258-6373. That's area code 435-258-6FRED. Meanwhile, just north up in Olympia, Washington, on a less controversial note, at least as far as cyclists are concerned, the Washington legislature is now looking at a bill that would require cars to give bicyclists and pedestrians at least 3 feet of space while passing, and it would make it legal for drivers to move to the left side of the center of the roadway when passing a cyclist or pedestrian. The bill here is House Bill number 1491. It's been passed by Washington's House, and it's now heading to the Senate for consideration. So if you live in the state of Washington, now might be a good time to contact your state senator to urge them to support House Bill 1491 and a 3-foot rule in your state. And finally, for those of you like me in the state of Utah who've been hoping for a Share the Road special interest license plate, well, the Utah legislature has come one step closer to making that a reality. SB number 102, sponsored by Representative Todd Kaiser of Sandy and Senator Wayne Niederhauser, also of Sandy, would create a Share the Road Utah license plate. Now, the bill has already been passed by the Utah State Senate and is now headed to the House floor after having been passed by the House Transportation Committee. The initial cost of the plate would be covered by the Utah Bicycle Coalition, and those drivers who want to put these plates on their cars would purchase the plate for an additional $25 annual donation to bike operation and safety programs. I've read the bill, and if it passes, these plates will become available October 1st of 2009, and just guess who's going to be first in line at the Utah DMV. Turning to professional bicycle racing, I mentioned last week that this is the week for the annual Paris-Nice race. Paris-Nice began with an individual time trial that was won by the Astana rider and Tour de France champion Alberto Contador. Contador won despite the fact that Astana is there without Thomas Vitkus, Chris Horner, and Levi Leipheimer. Astana did defend the jersey for a day, and then today gave it up when Sylvain Chavanel from Team Quickstep won today's stage of Paris-Nice. So after three stages, Sylvain Chavanel is in the lead, 9 hours, 29 minutes, and 24 seconds. Sitting in second place from Rabobank and Spain, Juan Manuel Garate, he's 33 seconds behind Chavanel. In third, Juan Antonio Flecha, also from Spain and also from Team Rabobank, 36 seconds back. Paris-Nice goes through March the 15th, which means that next week we will have the final results of this year's race. Also next week, we will have the next event on the world cycling calendar. That's the Tirreno Adriatico stage race. That's March 11th, tomorrow through March 17th. More news on that also in next week's show. You'll recall that last week I mentioned the burglary of Dave Zabriskie's home while he was competing in and taking second place in the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. Salt Lake City police have now reported that they've arrested two men in connection with those burglaries. One of those is Leopold Howard, and according to jail documents and newspaper reports, Howard has confessed to burglarizing Dave Zabriskie's home twice last month while Dave was out in California for the Amgen Tour. According to the police, they've only recovered a few items, including one of Dave's cars. Quote, we haven't got the statues, we haven't got the Olympic ring, or the Tour of Italy medal. Hopefully, over the next couple of weeks, I'll continue to bring you good news so we can get a positive resolution to this story. Well, it is that time of the year, the time where traditional, longtime cycling fans look forward to this every single year because it's classics season. There's a great article in the BBC News, and I've linked to it in the show notes this week, that sort of goes through all of the spring classics in professional cycling. We've already had two races been put behind us and in the record books this year, starting with Kern Brussels Kern. Tom Bonin won that one on March the 1st for the second time in 3 years. Second place went to German Bernhard Eisel of the Columbia High Road team, and third place going to Britain's Jeremy Hunt for Team Cervelo. The second race was the Het Nieuwsblad in Ghent, Belgium. This one was February the 28th. Tor Husovt won this one. Second place going to Kevin Ista of the Agritu Bell team, and third place going to Spanish Juan Antonio Flecher of Team Rabobank. The rest of the classics are coming up, including Milan-San Remo on March the 21st. Lance Armstrong will be making an appearance there. The Tour of Flanders or the Ronde van Vlaanderen, April the 5th. That's where you get the climbs of the Molenberg and the Moer-Koppelmoer. Gent-Wevelgem will be April the 8th. Paris-Roubaix on April the 12th. We all know Paris-Roubaix is the hell of the north with the famous cobblestones. Not sure who's going to win that one this year. Tom Bonin again, perhaps? Fabian Cancellara? Hey, how about George Hincapie? Amstel Gold is on April the 19th, where the Kauberg climb awaits the peloton. La Flèche Wallonne on April the 22nd, and finally on April the 24th, the final classic of this year's spring classic season, Liège-Bastogne-Liège. And finally, in pro cycling news tonight, if you followed along with our coverage of the 2008 Tour de France on the Daily Tour podcast, you will recall a name that came up time after time. A Team Gerolsteiner rider won Stefan Schumacher from Germany. You'll recall at that time, Stefan won both time trials in the 2008 Tour de France and for a time was wearing the maillot jaune, the yellow leader's jersey of last year's Tour de France. Well, in October, it was reported that Schumacher tested positive for the doping agent Sera, which is a new generation of EPO, a blood doping agent. It basically boosts your red blood cells, providing more oxygen to your muscles. Sera is a new agent and something that new tests have only recently come out for, and several riders were caught for it in last year's Tour de France, including Ricardo Rico and Leonardo Piepoli during last year's Tour de France. Well, now Stefan Schumacher has faced the music and is now looking at a worldwide ban from professional cycling until January the 21st, 2011. This ban, signed and announced by the UCI, follows a ban from French authorities keeping Schumacher from participating in French cycling events for 2 years as well. As for Schumacher, he's quoted as responding, quote, one thing is clear, I have not doped and I have nothing to hide. Moving away from doping and professional cycling, it seems that professional cyclists are not the only ones prone to being accused for unlawful behavior. story out of Johannesburg, South Africa, states that several bicycle shops are now being investigated as being, quote, a possible cartel. In other words, colluding on prices and engaging in anti-competitive behavior. South Africa's Competition Commission has announced that they've initiated an investigation of cycle shop retailers Fritz PNR and Cycle Lab. In the statement from the commission, they said that they had in their possession minutes of a meeting at which it appeared that a group of bicycle retailers met to discuss how to increase profit margins. Quoting now from the commission, the shop owners allegedly discussed ramping up the prices on cycling accessories to increase margins from 50% to 75%, ramping up prices of bicycles to increase margins from 35% to 50%, and coordinating these increases to be introduced at the same time on the 1st of October, 2008. According to the commission, the shop owners also discussed a plan to get certain wholesalers to collaborate. The retailers wanted the wholesalers to provide a new suggested retail price to them so that it would justify the increased prices that they had agreed to charge. One of the commissioners reported that there seemed to have been more parties involved and that they will continue to investigate. Quoting now, that these retailers believe they could act together to increase prices with impunity is shocking. The commission intends to thoroughly investigate this apparently blatant attempt amongst competing retailers to collusively raise prices to unsuspecting consumers. And with all that bad news, I decided I'd end the news this evening on a more positive note. I just thought this was awesome. Kayla Plater won a specialized mountain bike and a helmet for participating in an essay contest in Solvang, California, as part of the activities going on surrounding the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. She was the top essay among 25 entries from the local area, fourth through sixth graders. The topic, how my bike affects my life. Now, the nine-year-old fourth grader at the family school in Los Olivos was honored on stage at the finish line at the Solvang time trial at the Amgen Tour of California. I just came across this and decided that this isn't necessarily time sensitive, but I just loved what Kayla wrote, and I thought I'd read it to you. Kayla wrote, "My bike makes me happy. I love riding it every day. When I ride on it, the wind blows in my face and I feel great. I see nature and beautiful things all around me. I see little animals and birds flying and running around. I see trees. I see the crystal blue sky and the white fluffy clouds over my head. I feel peaceful. I feel at one with nature when I'm on my bike. My body feels strong when I'm on my bike, and it clears my mind as well. I get stronger every time I go out. I know how good it is for my body, and I think everyone should bike to make their body stronger and healthier. It is also very good for your mind because biking helps you think about things and helps you get the right answers. The happiness and freedom I experience while on my bike clears my mind, so I'm able to think clearly and solve problems. I also enjoy riding with my friends. My friends and I love to ride around. We talk about things, enjoy looking at all the animals, and we race up and down hills. Biking makes our friendship stronger. We share laughter together, secrets, and talk about who we're going to be when we grow up. We even help each other solve things that are wrong in our lives. I even enjoy riding with my brother. When we ride together, I feel like he's my friend, not my brother. Biking is fun for the both of us, so we don't fight. We laugh and play together and use our imagination. When we ride on our bikes, we actually become closer. When I'm an adult, I want my brother and I to continue riding our bikes together. I want to keep our relationship strong because I love him. I remember when I got my first bike. I was coming home from school and I saw a bike in the driveway. I looked at my new bike. It was a shiny pink bike with pretty designs on it. I said, I will keep this bike for the rest of my life and will give it to my children when I am all grown up. I will bike for the rest of my life, and when I'm an adult, I will ride with my children and show them the joys of bike riding. That is how my bike affects my life. Now, people, hop on your bikes and go. A bike is an amazing tool for you to use for exercising, playing, thinking, and seeing nature. If everybody rode a bike, the world would be a better place." I don't know about you, but I think Kayla nailed it. And with that bit of inspiration from a fourth grader, here ends the news for this episode of the Fredcast. Before we move on to tonight's feature, I wanted to thank this week's show sponsor, Audible. Audible has over 50,000 audiobooks and other audio titles available for download right now. And if you go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling, you're going to get a free 14-day trial of the Audible Listener Gold program, and you'll be able to download a free audiobook of your choice that you're going to get to keep whether you stay with Audible or not. But look, with over 50,000 choices available on audio, my guess is you're going to want to stick with them, as I have. I think Audible is fantastic. Audible is compatible with the iPod and over 500 other devices. Plus, if you don't like it, you can cancel at any time. So get your first 14 days of the Audible Listener Gold plan free, including one audio download of your choice. Your membership will renew at the end of your free trial, so you can continue to receive one download a month plus members-only discounts on all audio purchases for just $14.95 a month after that free 14-day trial. Cancel your membership before your free trial period is up. You won't be charged, and you get to keep that free Audible book. So go ahead and check them out. Go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling. And if you don't have the chance to write that down, just go to www.thefredcast.com and click on the Audible link on the right-hand side of the page. Thanks so much to Audible for sponsoring this week's episode of the Fredcast. And now I'd like to talk to you about a couple of new features of the Fredcast, some things that you're going to be hearing tonight and on subsequent Fredcast shows. The first, this was a listener suggestion, and it is a great one. You know, no matter where you live, someplace nearby is a bike shop that you think is pretty special. A bike shop where the mechanic knows your name and exactly how you like your bike adjusted, where the owner knows you so well that when that new special product comes out that he or she thinks is right up your alley, he makes sure and he saves one for you so you can take a look at it the next time you come into the shop, where you just can't wait until Wednesday or Saturday or Sunday for your favorite shop ride. You know, it's a bit like Cheers. It's where everybody knows your name and you feel really comfortable. And there's a reason for that. And here at the Fredcast, we want to hear from you about why your bike shop is so special, because we're going to start a bike shop of the month. And what we'd like you to do is nominate your favorite bike shop. Tell us what, in your opinion, makes your shop special. Is it the way the shop is laid out? Is it the mechanics and the way that they do their jobs? Is it that special club ride, or is it just the way that they treat you when you walk through the door? No matter what it is, let us know. I've got links in the show notes to where you can nominate your favorite bike shop. And each month, the winning bike shop will be interviewed here on the show, and they'll have a chance to tell us what, in their opinion, makes their own shop special. Now, if you're a bike shop owner, please, you know, let's try to keep this fair. Don't nominate yourself. If you're a customer, however, and you've got a bike shop you love, nominate that shop. Send an email to Rex, that's Rex, R-E-X, at thefredcast.com. Rex is going to be collecting all of your emails, finding the best ones each month, sending them my way, and setting up an interview with the owner or manager of the shop so that we can get them here and let them tell everyone in the Fredcast audience what makes their shop special. So go to the show notes. If you don't have an opportunity, write it down. But if you do, write down Rex's email. It's Rex, R-E-X, at thefredcast.com. Let Rex know exactly what it is that makes your bike shop special, and hopefully next month you'll be hearing your nominated shop as the Fredcast Bike Shop of the Month. The next new feature I want to tell you about is a new feature we're going to be calling Training with Ken. And instead of my introducing to you what the Training with Ken segment is going to be all about, we'll let Ken do it. Here's listener Ken to tell you all about it.
Hi, David. This is Ken, longtime Fredcast listener. Welcome back from your hiatus. It's really great to have the Fredcast back in my podcast feed again. I've been a card-carrying Fred for about 3 years now, and this winter I decided that it was just kind of time to up my game a little bit. So I've set two personal goals that I want to prepare for. One is coming up pretty quick. It's the Solvang Century, which is in March. And the second is to ride in the Étape du Tour in France in July, which is the Mont Ventoux stage. And that ride is on July 20th. I was really interested in the training that you did using the CompuTrainer and the ERG video software when you prepared for your European tour a year ago. I've owned a CompuTrainer for a couple of years now, and I just really didn't feel like I was getting the most out of it. I used it occasionally, but didn't really target my training. When I saw your reports on the Fredcast, I went ahead and bought the ERG Video road bike pack of 9 DVDs, and last winter I took it on the road with me for a trip to Toronto. I was in Toronto for about 5 months and used it extensively to ride during the winter when it was too cold and snowy out to get out on the road. And I really enjoyed using them and could definitely see the potential, though I really still wasn't using that in a very targeted or organized way. So this winter, I went one step further and I talked with Coach Richard Wharton, who you also used from onlinebikecoach.com, and he's created a training plan for me to specifically prepare for these two events. I started the plan in December, and now I'm into about the 7th week of the plan. And what I really appreciate is that I can ride anytime it's convenient for me. I can work long hours, which my job usually entails, and I have two kids, so life's busy. But it's really reassuring to know that when I'm putting in the hours at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, which is sometimes the only time I have to ride, it's a meaningful workout and it's going towards a goal. I'm also using the ERG Video threshold testing software to track my progress, which is a great way to test threshold wattage because you always know that you're doing the same exact warm-up and the same 20 or 60-minute ride, and you cut out all the variables so you can really track how well the training is doing, and really the only variable left is the rider. So that's really helped me to be able to see how effective this training has been. I think there's probably a lot of riders like me and like you who have limited time to get on the bike, but they really want to see their riding improve, either for a big event like a century, or even just so they can keep up with the gang on the weekend rides. So I thought that if your listeners are interested, I could possibly call in with regular updates on my progress and just report on my experiences using this technology and also obviously follow up on these actual events to let your listeners know how well the preparation did and how the events went. Anyway, that's it. And it's great to have you back again, and it's good to have the Fredcast back online. Talk to you soon, David.
So I'm hoping that as Ken fills us in on his adventures in getting in better shape this year and getting prepared for the Étape du Tour, and we're going to talk about what that is in a moment, I'm hoping that you're going to find it useful and that will inspire you to get in better shape. Because I know that, well, my off season wasn't that great until about a month and a half ago when I got back on my CompuTrainer and started really getting serious about my training. I had put on too much weight. Thank you. I've lost 10 pounds in the last couple of weeks, which is a good thing. And my fitness had just gone down the tubes. And so it's listeners like Ken and stories like Ken's that inspire me. And I'm hoping that they will also inspire you. Now, I have put links in the show notes to everything that Ken talked about, including onlinebikecoach.com, where you can find information on CompuTrainers, information on the ERG videos, which I also use in my training program and which work great. And I'm going to have some future reviews coming up for some of their new DVDs that go along with the CompuTrainer. And I've also put a link in for the Étape du Tour. Now, if you've never heard of the Étape du Tour, this is a pretty cool thing. Now, you heard Ken mention that the Étape du Tour was going to be on Mont Ventoux in France. If you've looked at this year's Tour de France schedule, you know that the penultimate stage of this year's Tour de France will be on Mont Ventoux. It's in the south of France. It is quite a challenging climb. The Étape du Tour takes place a few days or up to a week before the pros actually will do that stage. It happens every year. They pick one stage out of the tour, and they allow a few thousand citizens like you, like me, not racers, to go and ride that stage. Now you can ride it competitively where you try to beat everyone else, or you can just sort of ride it like you would your regular century or double century, where you just go out and you want to complete it, and completing it is your entire goal and your only goal. Ken's decided that he wants to go do the Étape du Tour this year, and he's going to be taking us all the way through his training and through the summiting of Mont Ventoux in July. I'm looking forward to that. And by the way, you may recall during our Amgen Tour of California coverage that we were getting videos every day from our friend Marcus over at Cyclefilm. Well, one of the things that Cyclefilm does every year is they do a reconnaissance video of the Étape du Tour, and they provide that to people. They sell it to people who are considering doing the Étape du Tour so that they virtually have pre-ridden the course and they know every twist and turn. And Marcus does a great job of filming that. There is a link in the show notes to where you can find more information on Marcus's Étape du Tour preview DVD, or you can just go to cyclefilm.com. So expect more from Ken in the coming weeks. A couple of upcoming events to tell you about, starting with one I told you about last week. This is one that I'm going to, and I'm hoping that you're going to be able to join me there as well. This is the Moab Skinny Tire Festival taking place this coming weekend, March 14th through the 16th. There are some great rides associated with this. The River Portal ride on Saturday of 37 miles. On Sunday, the ride out to Dead Horse Point State Park. You've got a choice of either a 64 or a 46-mile ride. I was talking to our friend, author Dave Shields, today, and he was telling me that going to Dead Horse Point is just amazing. It's supposed to be spectacular scenery. I'm looking forward to that. But even more than that, on day three, March 16th, a 47-mile ride through Arches National Park. I think that's going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully, you'll be able to join me for the Moab Skinny Tire Festival. If not, I will be reporting on it, bringing you interviews and sort of sights and sounds via audio, a sound-seeing tour, if you will, of the Moab Skinny Tire Festival on next week's show. So look forward to that. And of course, links are in the show notes at www.thefredcast.com. Our next upcoming event takes place also this coming weekend, March 14th. It's the aforementioned Solvang Century that Ken mentioned in his Training with Ken report. The Solvang Century takes place in Central California and is one of my favorite century events of the entire year, and also one of the most famous century events. There is a full 100-mile century, and there's also a 50-mile half century. This ride is extremely well marked, extremely well supported, and goes through some beautiful scenery. I've got links in the show notes to where you can get more information on the Solvang Century and Solvang Half Century. Next up is the annual Sea Otter Classic taking place in Central California as well, April 16th through the 19th. And you know what? There are too many events going on at Sea Otter to really go through them all. I mean, there's mountain bike races, road rides. There's stuff to do for the kids. There's an expo area which has really become almost like a mini Interbike. There's so much going on at Sea Otter that if you are anywhere near there and you miss it, you are going to be kicking yourself. Once again, links are in the show notes. This is a can't-miss event. Go ahead and check it out at seaotterclassic.com. And our final upcoming event of the night is one that I try to talk about every year. And every year I say I want to go to this one, and I have yet to do it. This one takes place on May the 3rd, and this is the TD Bank 5-Borough Bike Tour in New York City. 42 miles, 30,000 cyclists, and the largest recreational cycling event in America. Starting in Lower Manhattan, heading north through the heart of Manhattan to Central Park, continuing on to Harlem and the Bronx, returning south along the East River on the FDR Drive, and from there, cross into Queens and then Brooklyn, and then You take over the highway before making the climb up and down the Verrazano Narrows Bridge to Staten Island, 42 miles, mostly flat except for the bridges. This is an adventure. And you know what? You are a Fred. You are a road cyclist. You're totally into this, but this is also a great one for your friends who, you know what, maybe they only get on their bike once a year, because could you imagine riding through all five boroughs of New York? The roads are closed. It's just you and other people on bikes. This is a great event. I've got to get out there one year and do this one. I'm really looking forward to it. Again, links are in the show notes. If you're anywhere near New York City on May the 3rd, get yourself there to do this ride. This is the granddaddy of them all. And this is a good place to let you know how you can stay in contact with the Fredcast. Of course, the best way to stay in contact with everything that we're doing here at the Fredcast, everything I'm doing in my life, is to follow my Twitter feed. Over 1,300 people are already doing it. You should too. Go to www.twitter.com/Fredcast and go ahead and follow along. You can always send me an email to send me text comments, questions, notes for the shows. Don't forget to send Rex an email nominating your favorite bike shop. My email address is thefredcast@gmail.com. Of course, Rex's is rex@thefredcast.com. You can also send audio comments in your emails, but if you don't have that capability, well, go ahead and call our listener hotline. Area code 435-258-6FRED or 435-258-6373. And don't forget to visit the website where you can find out the show notes, look at videos, read the latest blog posts, or order those Team Fredcast jerseys. That's at www.thefredcast.com. And with the show coming to a close, it's time once again to thank Audible.com for sponsoring this episode of the Fredcast, and that leads us into our PodSafe cycling music. Our music tonight comes to us from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Tonight's artist is Blake Morgan, singing along with Lenny Kravitz. The song is called "Why Don't You See?" Links are in the show notes to where you can find Blake Morgan's website, where you can find him on Podshow, and of course, where you can find the song, the album, and Blake Morgan himself on iTunes. All of those are in the show notes. Please, let's support those artists who support podcasting. That's going to do it for tonight's show. Really enjoyed being here with you tonight. Can't wait to be with you again next week. Got a lot going on for next week's show, including the report from the Moab Skinny Tire Festival. But between that show and this one, enjoy the music. But most of all, enjoy the ride.